Cooking oil is something we use a reasonable amount of and always have. Even though we try to eat fairly healthily, we do find there are some things that you just need to cook in oil. And it was one of the things that I was really unsure how we were going to replace, because it's so convenient and easy just to buy a bottle of sunflower oil. And I was quite daunted by the idea of having to produce an equivalent myself. However, I needn't have been. It's actually proved simpler than I expected.
Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Being sustainable and food security matters.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 50 of the Self-Sufficient Podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Episode 50. So, my first mini milestone. I'm quite pleased to be here, and I'm very happy that we seem to be finding an audience that is enjoying the show. And as always, if that's you, do let us know. It means a tremendous amount to us. And you can leave your feedback by leaving a rating and review wherever you download this podcast. Do make sure that you're subscribed. It's absolutely free. But make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast, because then it will show up in your feed without you having to come and find it. And also get in touch with us via email, selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com. We really do love hearing from you. And today's show is about replacing oil. So it's something that we use, whether it's for cooking roast potatoes or in salad dressings or frying eggs or whatever it might be. And even though we, as I stated before, we do try and eat quite a healthy diet, but sometimes we like a fried egg and we like to have oil in our roast potatoes. And I wouldn't say that we went through a tremendous amount of oil, but we definitely used to go through, as a family of five, I reckon a litre would last us maybe 2 weeks. So it was something that I was really daunted by. The idea of making our own sunflower oil at that rate was going to be really, really problematic. So, as always, whenever I talk about the areas where things are a bit more abrasive, where there's a little bit more friction in the system, so what I mean by that is potatoes are very, very easy to grow. So if I want to swap out store-bought potatoes for homegrown potatoes, I just plant the right number of potatoes at the right time and I store them the right way, and I can do a like-for-like swap there. But there are areas like sugar and oil where there's more friction, and it's not quite as simple as swapping out store-bought for this other option. So the starting point is always to look at consumption. So we looked at consumption, and obviously we check are able to change our diet slightly to reduce the amount of oil that we use. For instance, on salads, if I'm making a salad dressing, I very rarely use oil anymore. And while it would be nice if I could make a little bit more pesto than we currently make, you know, I can get by with other things. So we tend to use vinaigrettes and things like that, things that are quite easy to make as our salad dressings now. But all that said, there is still a requirement for us to have a healthy, varied, enjoyable diet that we do still want to use some oil. So there's lots of ways of actually supplementing that need. And the easiest one, and this is going to be tricky if you're a herbivore, because the easiest one that we've found is actually animal products. So the rendered fat from animals, particularly pork, then that's a great source of cooking oil. So we use that whenever we're frying now, much the same as you would use oil or butter in a frying pan. We use lard that we get from our pigs. It's really easy to do. We basically just, whenever we cook any of our meat, we just capture all of the clear oil that comes off it. And we have a Pyrex glass container in the fridge, and I just literally pour the oil straight into that container and store it back in the fridge. And we do the same even if we're, say, cooking sausages. The oil that comes off those sausages, the fat that comes off those sausages, we save that and we reuse it for any kind of oven cooking that requires oil or frying in a frying pan. Now, obviously, this isn't the same oil that I would want to use on a salad or something like that, but for cooking with, it is perfect. And in a lot of cases, it actually adds flavor. It's a bonus to the meal. It's not a detractant of any kind. It's just a great way of A, using all of the animal, because we hate waste, and it's a great way of using fat that you might otherwise have discarded, but it's also a great way of producing the oil that you're going to want to cook in. But that's not the only method we have of creating oils, as you're about to find out. Self-Sufficient Hub is now on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/self-sufficient-hub. Anything you can donate is massively appreciated and will help to make the show better. So you can also obtain oils from nuts. Now, we have hazelnuts, almonds, and walnuts that grow in our garden, but hazelnuts and walnuts particularly in our area are also eminently forageable. They're really, really easy to get hold of. And once you've got particularly hazelnuts, they're a really oily nut, then all you need is a press and you can press your own oil. Now, the same goes for sunflowers. You can harvest the seeds from the sunflowers and press your own oil from those seeds. Another forageable item is oilseed rape, that yellow flower that you see taking over vast fields, or at least you did a few years ago. I think in the UK, at least, the way the farming industry subsidies change, I don't think that oilseed rape is quite as prevalent now as it was. However, it is quite a spreading plant. It's quite a good colonizer. So there are multiple verges and public areas that now have oilseed rape growing on them that's self-seeded as farm escapees. So you can actually use the seed from that plant and cold press that. And again, that gives you oil. It's one of the better ways of getting hold of it, actually, because it's more easy to obtain all or a lot of the rapeseed oil that you actually buy in shops is cold pressed, which means it's easier to obtain. So while that's not going to give you a massive amount of yield for the use in things like salad dressings, the rapeseed oil, I think, is a great alternative to olive oil, which brings me on to olive oil. Now, olives are something that you can grow in a temperate climate, but if you live in a warmer climate, you can grow them with much more success. Now, we don't have any experience with processing olives yet. We do have an olive tree. We got an olive tree from FreeCycle about a year ago, and I'm hoping that this year will be the first year we see some olives on it. And the only thing with olives is that they are quite a long process to actually process and get anything usable from. So even if you just want to eat the olives, it's not a simple just pick them, put them in a bowl and eat them process. There's quite a lot to it. I'm not going to go into that here because I'm simply not clued up enough on that subject yet. The time will come when I will be doing my research on that and going down that road, and when I'm there, I will bring you all for a walk down that road with me, but I'm not there yet. But there are lots of other plant-based options for oils, and these are the options that I'm going to be using when I'm wanting something for a salad dressing or something like that, or perhaps using on bruschetta. So just because we use 90% of our oil as animal derived product, that doesn't mean that we're limited to that. There are also other ways that you can replace oil in your diet or find it from other sources. It's really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can now send us an email at selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com, or you can send us a voice message. The easiest way to do that is through the link in the show notes. You can record your message on your phone and send it straight to us, where we can play it on the show. Don't forget to leave your name and where you're calling from. We are always thrilled to hear any feedback, suggestions for the show, or questions that you may have. So do get in touch with us. So the final part for us for completing the circle of how we're going to produce our oils is from milk cream and butter. So homemade butter is the easiest thing in the world to make. So whenever we have our goat's milk, before we turn it into cheese or do any other processing with it, unless we need the cream, we're going to take the top bit of cream off and put that to one side, and we put that in the freezer and we just keep adding to it. And then when we've got a decent amount, we turn it to butter. And it's the easiest thing in the world. You literally just take some cream, put it in a jam jar with the lid on, and shake, shake, shake. And after a minute or two of shaking, you've got butter. It's that simple. And it's the most delicious butter that you're ever going to find. Now, if you've got cows, you'll find this process a little bit quicker to obtain the cream, because goat's milk is naturally homogenized, which means that the cream and the milk don't readily separate. So we don't tend to get a great deal of cream per pint of milk, but we get enough to keep us in butter. So coupled with all the other things that we do, that is enough to basically take away our need to be buying oils for cooking from the shop. It's one of the hardest things, I think, I've found to make a complete circle on, because of our desire, really, to have things with olive oil. So we do sometimes buy olive oil from the supermarket, and I'm not ashamed to say that. You know, it's about enjoying what you do. And for us to go the whole hog, it's just not something that we would take any pleasure out of. So it is something that we still buy some from the supermarket to keep our general eating habits going, but it's not something that, if the world ended tomorrow and there was no more oil available anywhere, that would cause us any great degree of pain. So it's nice to know that we've got the skills and the knowledge, and we've got the flexibility within the things that we grow and raise to be able to carry on eating a great balanced diet without having that requirement. So it's more of a, rather than it being a necessity, it's not a need for us anymore. It's just something that we like. So we do go out and buy some olive oil every now and again. So that's the end of this episode. I can't think of anything else I've got to add. Please do get in touch. Let me know your thoughts. If you want to be on the show as a guest, please do reach out. If there's anything else that you want to hear about that we've not covered, if you've got a request for a particular show or a question you want answered, do let us know. You can contact us via the show notes. And I will look forward to speaking to you on Wednesday. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
If you find these podcasts valuable, there are several ways you can support them. The easiest ways are to rate it and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. You could also share it online, talk about it anywhere you blog, or find someone you think might be interested and point them our way. You can also find and support us on YouTube, where we are also Self-Sufficient Hub. Thanks for listening.